Last week, we talked about real life, the incredible benefits we have with our God, Lord Jehovah. We talked about the fact that we get to talk to God and he listens to us. In fact, we can cast all of our cares upon him. That he's faithful despite us and that he's going to be faithful to himself and to his word. We talked about the benefit of peace that he gives us and power that he gives us, as well as the precious promises that he gives us. And what I want to do in speaking about one of these benefits is kind of highlight one of them, if I could, for just the next few minutes, so that we can understand the incredible access that we have to God through prayer. I asked us last week, are we taking advantage of this opportunity? Well, we took it from Joshua chapter 21, verse 1. It was when the Levites, they went to Eleazar, they went to Joshua, they went to the heads of the tribes of Israel, and they asked them for the cities that God had commanded to be able to be given to the Levites. Now, you remember, the Levites were a special tribe. They were a special tribe. They were given God's portion of the land. They received no inheritance, no specific territory, because God was their portion. You see, this tribe, they knew the impact. If you remember from last week, they knew the effect of sin. It did nothing but cause destruction. It did nothing but cause pain. But one righteous decision of choosing to follow God, God would redeem them. He would make them the keeper of the things of the tabernacle and the temple. He would redeem this tribe and he would become their portion as they would hold on to these spiritual truths and things. And Joshua, well, we've read in Joshua 3 and Joshua 6 and Joshua 11 prior to Joshua 21, Joshua is telling us in this historical rendition, in this understanding of the children of Israel going into the promised land, that God was their portion. Even written for us, the land, these cities, it was for the Levites. But we learned something in Joshua 21, verse 1. The Levites, they had to ask. We talked in James about the very fact that James, the brother of Jesus, would say, we have not because we ask not. And so for a moment in our Bible study last week, we stopped. And we took about 6 minutes to pray, because 6 minutes is about the longest prayer when you read it in the Bible. So we stopped for just a minute and we prayed to show that our greatest priority is our communication with God. Now, if you could for just a moment, think of all the benefits that you're missing when we don't pray, when we're not saying, "Your will be done in my life." When we're not praying this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But after last week and after we had this time of prayer, we noticed out in the fellowship that there were a lot of questions about prayer. And that's why we're going to take a little break from Joshua and we're going to learn a few things about prayer. Now, if you want to learn about something, you want to go to an expert. For example, if I want to learn how to surf better, I'll probably go to Joey Baran and ask Joey, hey, listen, how do you do a bottom turn? And when you're going off the lip, exactly like how do you do your legs? And what kind of, you know, he was known as the guy that like every muscle in his body just moved when he won the pipeline. And I think it was in 1984. Some of you weren't even born yet. But the truth of the matter is, if I want to become an expert surfer, I want to go to an expert. I'm not going to go to someone. Well, let me explain it like this. Years ago, I wanted to learn how to snowboard. So I went with a friend of mine to a ski mountain, and he told me I know how to snowboard. So we get our snowboards, and I'm kind of watching him, and well, he looks like he knows what he's doing, and we get out to the snow, and he's kind of like doing a one-foot little thing, so I kind of follow and mimic him, and we get on the ski lift, and I go, I think I want to go down the bunny slope. He goes, no, you're a surfer, you'll have no problem, just go right up the lift with me, and I don't know, he saw some sign, and it said black diamond, so I said, okay, you know, let's go. So we started going up, and I'm looking at the ski lift, and I'm like, man, those guys are going really fast. I don't know if I want to, oh, you're going to be fine. Just trust me. I'm going to teach you. So we are getting ready to get off the ski lift, and my first indication that this was the wrong guy to follow should have been the little sign that said Black Diamond. But then as we're getting off of the ski lift, well, my second indication was when he put his snowboard down to slide down the little thing on the ski, to get onto the portion where you start skiing, he tumbled and fell off the lift. They had to stop the lift, and now I'm stuck halfway around because I don't know how to get off, and he's like rolling around in the snow, and I'm looking at it going, one, this is not right. I have picked the wrong person. Well, we finally get off the little lift, and the guy had to help me get off, and I go tumbling down as well. And well, we start getting going down the mountain, and all of a sudden, who I thought could snowboard, he's rolling all over the place. He has no idea what he's doing. And I looked at him, I go, dude, what are we doing? He goes, well, I surf. I thought I'd be able to snowboard. I'm thinking to myself, why did I follow you? You see, if you want to learn how to do something, you're not going to go to someone who doesn't know how to do it. No, you're going to go to someone who knows exactly what they're doing so that you can learn how to do it the best. And if anyone knows how to talk to God, it's Jesus. Jesus knows how to talk to God. Turn with me, if you would. It's Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The disciples knew this. The disciples knew that Jesus knew how to talk to God. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. You see, unlike my friend who had no idea how to take me down that mountain on that snowboard, I won't even tell you how we ended up. Unlike my friend, Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about. Jesus would be the one that you want to go to ask about this thing about prayer, because the disciples, when they were looking at him, the same way I looked at my friend and realized, you have no idea what you're doing. The disciples, when they looked at Jesus, he knows what he's doing. There's something about his life that's different. There's something that I want to follow. There's something about his life. Well, I want to ask you about prayer, because when I see your life, Jesus, I see power. I see this great effect that you have on people. I see you walk on water. I see you feed the 5,000. You see, the disciples knew exactly who to ask because they saw something different. They saw the power of prayer in Jesus' life. Jesus in John chapter 10, oh, you remember, he's speaking about his time. And he says this in John chapter 10, verse 17. He says, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to lay down my life. Well, Jesus, I want to know that power. I want to be able to lay down my life. I want to be able to live a kind of life. Where did you get that power from? Well, Jesus is going to reveal to them one of the secrets of heaven. And so for a moment, what I want us to do, I want us to look at what Jesus tells his disciples, but not just what he tells them. I want us to see what he does in his lifestyle. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Speaking in regards to the context of prayer, our very first point, you can write it down, be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. And he said to him, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, circle that word if you would, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I've got nothing to set before him. Now, I don't know about you. If a friend of mine comes knocking at midnight, I would probably respond the same way that this friend did. Take a look. The friend responds and he says, don't trouble me. The door is now shut, verse 7, and my children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, circle that word, yet because of his, underline this, persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So you got to see the other guy on the side of the door. Hey, I need you to help me. Hey, I need you to help me. Ah, go away. I'm in bed. Hey, dude, I need you to get up. Hey, I need you to get up. Would you please go away? I'm not going away. I'm right here. I need you to get up. Hello. No, I'm annoying you, aren't I? I mean, there's something about that you would get out of bed as well. And Jesus is saying, look, because of his persistence, he's going to choose to get up and get out of bed. Now, what I love about this, remember, Jesus is answering the question of how do you pray? And in the context of that answer, he puts it in the context of friendship. Some of you might ask a question, why do I have to pray? I mean, if God is all-knowing, shouldn't he just know what I'm going to say and then just do what I'm going to ask? No, listen, you don't need to turn there. I'll read it for you. It's John chapter 15, verse 15. Listen to what Jesus says. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, that's a friendship. I'm not calling you servants anymore because everything that I've heard, I've told you, I've talked to you, you and I have communicated, and now you're not just servants because I've communicated to you and I've been communicating to you. Well, listen to what's happened. Now, after time of communication, we have become friends. Now, there are Bible college students that come to my house every Monday night after Lyft. I love them being there. But let me tell you, when they first started coming, when we first started Lyft, I'd come into the house. Hello, Pastor Chet. Can we have some peanut butter? Or like, you know, we're Bible college students. So just seriously, why don't you come in? You know, here's the fridge. Get some milk. Get some cereal. You know, and let me tell you something. First couple of times, second time, we're back. We're Bible college students, and I don't know, do you guys have any leftovers or, you know, it's like salad or something like that? And where are you from again? I'm glad to be here. That's been happening now for 6 months. I came home from El Salvador. No longer are they afraid. I came home, they're sleeping on my couch. My fridge is their fridge. Listen, I love that we had friends come and stay at our house. They entertained them while I was in El Salvador. Listen, they're no longer Bible college students. After months of communication, let me tell you something. These guys are my friends. They're my friends. And I want you to see the kind of friends that Jesus is wanting to have through our persistence in prayer, through our constant communication with God. Look what he says in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Let me tell you the kind of friend that Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a friend that keeps talking all of the time. You see, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. I want constant communication with you all of the time. It's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, he makes a contrast, and we've got to switch now because he goes, listen, this friend, he wouldn't get out of bed until this guy wouldn't leave him alone. And he wants to make a contrast, and he says, listen, the friend that you went to, he said, don't trouble me. But Jesus, he's the friend that answers the persistence in a different way. He's not the friend that says, don't trouble me. No, he's inviting us. He's making a contrast here of the kind of friend that he is. Take a look, if you would, verse 11. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil... If you then, being evil, the friend who says, don't trouble me, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, Jesus not only asks us to constantly talk to him, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, he's even telling us exactly what to pray. Because he's such a good friend, he knows exactly what we need to pray for. And he says this, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. What a great friend. Now, not only does he tell us what to pray, he's telling us what to pray for. He's telling us how to pray. And such a good friend. He goes, look, I'm not going to look at this like, hey, leave me alone. I wish I'm in bed. You're troubling me. Don't you know I'm God? I have to rest every 6 days. What are you guys doing? Don't call me on Sunday. No, he says this. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking for the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus just didn't teach it. No, Jesus lived it. You see, in Luke chapter 5, the Bible says he often withdrew into the wilderness. He often withdrew to get alone and pray. That's what Luke wrote in Luke chapter 5. And we see the impact of him taking the time to get away and pray in Luke's second volume, Acts chapter 10, where he says this, and Jesus went about doing good and healing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that on a daily basis, Jesus was persistent in, give me the power of the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't the only thing that Jesus taught. If you're taking note, listen, it's point number two. He also talked about the practice of prayer in your life. The practice. Now, I have the privilege and the honor to be discipling a few players that are playing in the NFL. And they just are heading back and they've been training all summer. And I asked them, listen, hey, I'm wondering, what do you think if I come and I try out? One of them said, you will die. And I go, no, dude, what if I just come out on the field one day and I try out? And he goes, bro, let me tell you something. Stick to preaching. If you come on the field and one of those 250-pound guys hits you, you will die. You won't know how to receive it. And when he comes at you and when he plows you down, you will have no idea what to do. And I said to him, well, then how do you do it? He said this, I've been practicing for years. So when I get out on the field, I know what to do. If you got out there, you would have no idea what to do. And it's exactly why Jesus wants us to practice to pray. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, it's the first book of the gospel in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, would you look and read verse 5? Listen, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There was a recent poll by the Evangelical Alliance. Listen, 1,500 Christians were polled, Bible-believing Christians. 42% of them said, it's difficult for me to get alone and be with God. One-fifth of them said, I don't have a discipline of prayer in my life. Listen, 60% said they pray on the move. So on their way to work, walking their dog, they're talking to Jesus. 63% said while they pray, they get easily distracted. Easily distracted. Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't want an acquaintance. He doesn't want someone that's easily distracted. Imagine you call your best friend, and every time you call him, listen, the other day I called my son. He's one of my best friends, and he's doing a paper while he's talking to me, and I'm looking at him do the paper while he's speaking to me on FaceTime. And I said to him, I don't want to talk to you anymore. He goes, why? Because you're not paying attention to me. I want someone who's got my attention, and you've got my attention, so goodbye. And I hung up the phone on him. He called me back, and when he called me back, I pretended I was reading the paper. I don't want an acquaintance. I want a good friend. He wants to be one you want to go away with. He wants to be one of your friends that you want to spend alone time with. Listen, I've got some incredible friends. Not only was I in El Salvador, I got a chance to go back home to the Bahamas last Sunday and preach at one of my home churches. It was such a gift. My cousin's the pastor, and about 500 people. It was just an incredible, incredible experience. Well, before I spoke at the church, me and Zach, who you always see up here, my uncle, he took us out on a boat to a deserted island. And let me tell you something. We were fish slayers. We caught fish. We speared fish. We had the most incredible time together. I didn't have to force Zach to go with me. He was captaining our boat all throughout the Bahamas. It was incredible. We were together because we're best friends, and we love the fact that we can be together and go and do this thing with my family out on this deserted island. Let me tell you, Zach called me. We were spearing. Zach called me, and the water in the Bahamas, it's like crystal clear blue. So he tells me, he goes, hey, you need to come over here. There's a big fish. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, it's a big fish. You know, it's like a fisherman's story. He's got a big fish that he wants to get, you know? Well, I go down in this hole and he's telling me this fish is huge. I go down and literally, you guys, I know this sounds like a fisherman's story, but listen, there was a 4-foot grouper in this hole. I haven't seen a 4-foot grouper in the Bahamas in years. And I look at this thing and I'm underwater and my heart is beating. And the thing is so big, it can't fit in the hole, that has gone belly up inside this little cave. And it comes out to peek to see if I'm there. And I'm there. I pull back my spear and I shoot this thing. Let me tell you what he did. He swam out of the hole with my spear through him all the way to the ocean. I couldn't believe it. As we watched this fish just swim off to be shark bait somewhere with my spear in it. Well, let me tell you, when that trip was over, Zach and I, we were talking about our next trip. Where will we go? What will we do? We weren't tired of each other. We wanted to hang out. We wanted to spend time together because that's what friends do. Jesus, he shows quite an example of this in Luke chapter 9. You see, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus, he takes Peter, James, and John on a prayer retreat. His buddies, his pals, those guys that he knew would lead the church, and he takes them up on this prayer retreat. And in Luke chapter 9, it's incredible. Jesus is in prayer, and all of a sudden, he starts glowing. All of a sudden, the light of who he is begins to show. And Moses and Elijah show up and they start ministering to him. And the disciples, what do? They fall asleep. And here is Jesus in the middle of prayer and he's experiencing this incredible glory. But the disciples, they wake up and they're kind of like this and they look and all they see Jesus and he's glowing. All they got to do was watch. You see, people who pray get to experience the glory. People who don't pray, all they get to do is watch others live the great adventure with God. And after he prays up on this mountain, Jesus, he goes down into the valley. And when he goes down to the valley, he sees the most incredible scene. Now remember, he's just come from this prayer retreat. He's gone away with his buddies to be together, to show us what it means to be friends and to be practicing prayer. Jesus, he comes down from the mountain. He looks over and the disciples are arguing. There's a little boy and he's on the ground going in an epileptic seizure. And here are the disciples in a theological debate with the Pharisees. Now you would think that one of the disciples would go, something's wrong with this child. But no, they're having a debate. You know why? Because the disciples had tried. You see, there was also a father. Jesus goes, what's going on here? The father says, you know, my son, he struggles with these epileptic seizures. He's demon possessed. So I brought him to your disciples. And Peter walked up and says, get out in the name of Jesus. And the demon looked at Peter and went like this. And then I don't know, maybe Philip walked up and said, I command you, get out. And the demon looked at Philip and went like this. I don't know, maybe Simon or Judas or whoever walked up to him and they all were like, get out, get out. So they couldn't do anything with the kid. So they just figured, well, the best thing for us to do is to argue. So they leave the kid in this epileptic seizure and begin an argument. So the father goes, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. Can you do anything? And Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. And the Father, in this prayer of faith, he says, I believe, help my unbelief. And all Jesus does is, come out. And the demon goes, and done. And the boy is restored to health. Disciples are leaving and they're walking away. And they're a little embarrassed. I mean, they had the whole show. Get out in the name of Jesus and the whole thing and nothing happens. They're embarrassed because Jesus calls them faithless and perverse. So they go to Jesus. Why couldn't we do anything? Why couldn't he come out when we said come out? And Jesus looked at him and said this. This kind only comes out through much prayer and fasting. It's like my friend who plays NFL. You can't show up for the event if you've not practiced before. You see, so many of us, we want to do these great spiritual things for God, but if we're not in the practice of prayer, is it quite possible we're going to get beat up by the enemy? Number three, our final note, if you're taking note, Jesus again preaches on prayer, and it's our third note. Listen, the protection that comes from prayer. Protection that comes from prayer. It's Mark chapter 14. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he looks at his guys, and he says, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Single guys, raise your hand. Single guys, raise your hand. Now remember, go ahead and put your hand down. Listen carefully. 42% of you find it difficult to get along with God. 63% of you get distracted when you pray. 20% of you, one-fifth of you, don't even have a spiritual discipline of prayer. And Jesus looks at the single guy and he goes, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. So at work, at school, at play, when that young lady comes by and she is as pretty can be, and she sits down next to you and you see her walking by and your mouth goes, and she has sprayed J'adore on her. She's got here and she's walking in whisping perfume all over the place. And you smell her and you see her and your eyes bug out of your head and you had no prayer life. You took no time to be with Jesus that morning. And all of a sudden, hi, my name, and you can't even remember your name. Here's my phone number.
Ooh, I'd love to have your phone number.
I don't know what she's like, but listen. All of a sudden, you fall into temptation because you've not been protected that morning in prayer, ladies. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, listen to what Jesus says. He tells a story that we always ought to pray so that we don't lose heart. Single ladies, raise your hand. Raise your hand, single ladies. Go ahead. Let me see your hand. Okay, it's your turn. Someone's about, I'm single. Someone pick me. No, listen, that's the point. That's the point. You've been in prayer. Lord, send my man. I want my big knight in shining armor. I want to see biceps and six-pack, and I want him to be wise and godly and like Jesus and beautiful. Protect me. That's why she's like, me, that's me. Now, single ladies, go ahead, raise your hand again. No one raises their hand. No. I'm tired of waiting. No one's asked me on a date in months, in years. And Jesus says to the single lady, don't lose heart. And the way that you won't lose heart is you be like that widow who went to that wicked judge time and time and time and time and time again. Because if you don't and you lose heart, you compromise. And he may have big muscles, but he wants one thing. And he may look great, but you've decided to take matters in your own hand. You've lost heart. And I've done marital counseling of those marriages. So Jesus says, pray so that you don't lose heart. heart. And Jesus is exactly what he did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, 3 times he got on his knees. Lord, let this cup pass. And Jesus, because he prayed, when they came for him, he didn't lose heart. He went all the way to the cross for you and for me. Jesus, he didn't give in to the temptation. And when Peter took that sword and cut off Malchus's ear, that was Jesus's chance to pick up the sword and put it right through his heart. Not Jesus. Because he found his power in prayer, he went straight to the cross. He said, I have the power to lay down my life. And I believe Jesus found his power in the persistent practice of prayer, that he was able to say, not my will, but yours be done. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we do come before you and we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, pray it with me. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a challenge for you. And every week I'm going to be giving you a challenge to change. This week, I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to take a half hour or an hour of your morning, because Jesus, he got up before the sun rose. And if he's the way, I want you just over the next 7 days until we meet again, put God to the test. And find yourself an extra half hour or an hour to be with God in prayer. And here's what I want you to pray. It's a prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. Send forth laborers into the harvest field. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field, because there is a harvest. And many of you have been praying that prayer. And you've been praying it tonight. And you invited a friend here because you believe in a God who saves. And you've been praying to a God that you believe he saves. And tonight I want to give you that opportunity. You see, here at Lift, we believe when we lift up the name of Jesus, he draws men unto himself. And Christian, right now, what I want you to do is be in prayer. Because some of you, you don't realize you have access to God. Some of you, you've been tempted. And like the disciples, though Jesus stood at the Garden of Gethsemane, they all ran away. And that's what sin has done. It makes you run away from Jesus, not to him. It keeps you from seeing the power of prayer. And tonight, I want to offer you an incredible gift. It's the gift of salvation. And it comes with a simple prayer, I believe. And if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're listening on the radio, on the internet, or you're sitting here in this auditorium, listen, we want you to know him. And I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith, because it's what Jesus did. He asked his disciples publicly, come and follow me. And I'm going to ask you right now, come and follow. Now, if you brought a friend, here's what you do. You lean over and you say to the friend, I'll go up with you. Oh, I don't know if I can pray. Ask God to give you the boldness to do it and say, I'll go up with you. I'll stand with you, because it's the greatest decision that you can make to receive Jesus. And so with this song, I want you to come forward and I want you to say, I want Jesus tonight, and receive him as your Savior and know that you're going to heaven without a shadow of a doubt. So as we sing this song, Christian, you're in prayer. If you brought a friend, you're just touching them and you're going, listen, I'll go up with you. And as this song begins to sing, you come forward. You be the first one. We're praying for you right now. Would you lead us in a song?